Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapters 1 and 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It's been an interesting year, to say the least, hasn't it? The world in which we live is a crazy place. And we acknowledge that on a routine basis here. And one of the funny things is with all of the things that are going on in our world, it's very easy to forget that the real problem in our world is not political. The real problem in the world is spiritual. And when the devil gains ground in the political arena, sometimes it scares back the believers in the spiritual arena. We might stand down, stand back, take our hands off. We've been told to turn the other cheek, and sometimes that's taken to an extreme. We sometimes forget that the Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light. But it's my conviction that we are living in a generation and a day where the real problem is a spiritual one. I remember about 18 years ago when 9/11 hit. There was a lot going on in the world at that time, but pretty much it was as in the days of Noah, everybody was marrying, giving in marriage, and all the things that were going on. But suddenly the whole world stopped almost on its axis for us. As we were glued to our TVs and we were watching two towers, some of the most opulent buildings in New York City, not only burning, but ultimately to fall. And most of us remember where we were at the time. My wife was on the way to Akron Children's Hospital to see a lady in our neighborhood who had just had a little baby girl. And she heard it on the radio. I was in Cleveland in a high rise, and I heard it among my fellow workers at the time. But everybody got brought up short that day. And interestingly enough, the very next Sunday, churches were full across America. There was a whole lot of reflection going on in this country. In fact, it even bled to the second Sunday, but sadly, after that, things went right back to where they were. In fact, I would say probably went further than they were before that day. What some people don't realize is that there was a way that that whole ordeal could have been averted. In fact, there was a paper written. I think the guy's name was Mark. He was a member of the FBI at one time, had moved over to the CIA, and he had understanding of Al-Qaeda and the operatives of bin Laden. And in his understanding, he caught wind that these two fellas who were going to be ultimately the guys who ran these planes into the towers, he got wind that they had come into the States and that they were really accessible. They could have gotten them. In fact, he wrote a report, and he and another fella conferred. They shared notes. They put it all together. They put it in a report, and they said, listen, these guys need to be apprehended. It's out of our purview. He was with the CIA at this time, and he was going to send it to the FBI, but the CIA said, no, table that. And it never got sent. And this fellow, who was the author of this paper, actually lives to this very day with the knowledge that 3,000 souls were lost because of the unwillingness to cooperate between the intelligence agencies of our country. What a lot of people don't realize is that that was not the first time our country had espionage and operatives in our world that wanted to do us harm. But God, in His mercy, had kept our hedge up and in place, allowing people to be found out and allowing people's efforts to attack us to be thwarted. And what happens is sometimes we forget that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I am reminded that this is the end of a year, 18 years since then. The problem is more a spiritual problem than ever it was. And it would be real easy for you and for me to feel a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that our country is losing its identity as being one nation under God, which was in the DNA when I was a kid. But today, sadly, it's almost like we brought forth a whole lot of other things that have no resemblance to that world I came up in at all. But one thing hasn't changed, and that is the fact that Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That He's on the throne, and He's not shocked, and He's not staggered, and He's not in any way brought up short by what's going on. And so when it comes right down to it, when we talk about the church and we talk about this problem in our country being a spiritual one, I want to address myself to you as God's people today. Because as we come to the end of a year, it's good for us to reflect. And a lot of the pundits and a lot of the TV shows and a lot of those talk shows, they'll talk about the 10 best and the 10 worst and all this of the year. And what we need to do is we need to take a moment, I believe, as we get ready to turn the calendar to a brand new year in the few days that we have left of 2019 and reflect, but reflect in the right way. You see, I am convinced that there is a biblical illiteracy to the point where the church has become paralyzed. And when I say that, what I mean is I believe that many believers have a very shallow understanding of the word. Now, as far as you and me in this room, I would like to believe that the words from this pulpit are words of encouragement that you could pick up upon and build upon and say, you know what, I know those verses. I know that the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Knowing it, however, and accessing it might be very difficult for us at times. I want to direct your attention to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 for a moment. And we're going to be in chapter 2 primarily because I want you to see some things upon which I reflect as we come to the end of this year. Things that mean something to my heart personally as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 21st century. And if I could say these words over you this morning, I would do so, and I want you to feel them as being said over you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what I want you to have. I want you to have grace, and I want you to have peace, and I want you to know it's from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could reach down into the hearts of the lambs in our midst and the lambs that are in maybe the listening audience on the radio, on the internet, wherever they may hear these words. And I wish I could just say to them, "Grace be to you, child of God, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. You see, the fact is that we are supposed to be at peace even when the storm is afoot. There was a commissioning of a portrait done by one king somewhere, I remember from years gone by, and he wanted a picture that captured the idea of peace. And several artists across the land submitted works, but one man captured it in such a way as to take the king's breath away. And it was a portrait of a cliff with rain and thunder and lightning in the back and ominous clouds. And the portrait had a dark gray gloominess about it, but in the center there was some color. And when you leaned in, you saw a nest with a mother bird sitting over her young. Peace in the midst of a storm. You and I cannot be effective as children of God, as salt, as light, unless we have personal peace. It's just not possible. And so when I am directing your attention to chapter 1 of the book of Corinthians, you need to recognize there's a context in which this was written. The Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Spurgeon was wont to say, that is the sinner's favorite attribute of God, is His mercy. Aren't you glad for His mercy this morning? Especially as we come to the end of a year and the dawning of a new one, you can look back and say, boy, if all of us were honest, we'd say, I didn't do as much as I should have done. I didn't do as much as I could have done. And we can just say, thank God for His mercy, because He's a merciful God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, the beauty of that passage, though it seems verbose, Paul just could not stress enough what he was trying to bring home to the Corinthians. And that's that God is a God of comfort. And for many people, we don't know that personally in our experience many times because we have so many comforts. For instance, it is when you go through deep times of bereavement or times of sadness or times of pain and sickness that you begin to realize what really matters. But we have so many comforts on this horizontal level. We have pain medications. We have psychotropic drugs that can kind of numb us to maybe some of the things that are deeper that we never get to touch because we deny them the opportunity to come out and for us to look at them and deal with and unpack it so we can get somewhere in our relationship with the Lord. And what we find is that we have movies and we have television and we have news 24/7 and we have clamor to the point where we never really get down to the anchor holding in our lives that we sang about here a little bit ago because there's so many other things we can grab for quickly. But Paul was not among our generation. He was in his generation. And Paul had a specific experience he was going through, which he was going to use to help the Corinthians. Look at verse 8 and 9 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength." Look at this. "Insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." Now, interestingly enough, you've already been given two, what we might call, jewels for our pocket to take with us today. The first is God comforts us that we may be able to comfort others. So, you see where he's going. He's saying, listen, you may go through something, but when you learn something from God, that's a tool which God can use and sanctify for you to utilize in the lives of somebody around you. That's a gem right there. You say, man, I went through some dark tunnels. I know. Everybody does at times, right? There's a time to laugh and a time to mourn. There's a time for every season. And sometimes we go through things, we don't know what's going on, which way's up, and it's Spurgeon again, who was noted as saying, never doubt in the darkness what God has revealed in the light. So when you go in the tunnel, you just reach for the anchor. Don't reach for a clamorous noisemaker in your life. Don't necessarily reach for something that is external. Reach for what's internal. Go deep. Try to find the Lord in there.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.